Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
A podcast where sometimes we come together to do things that we're not too proud of.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I see where this is going.
Kind of setting the tone for this episode.
It's good. It's good. What is this episode, Kyle?
This episode,
why are we doing it?
This episode, Ryan, was a request from longtime fan and friend of the show. Good friend of the show. Love this guy.
Known cheater.
But
good friend.
Mr.
Known cheater.
Micah Perdue has requested we talk about the 1998 film, What Dreams May Come.
Yes.
Boy, we're going to talk about it.
Have you seen this movie yet?
I'd never even heard
today?
Of this movie.
Okay.
Before today. Had you even heard of it?
I had heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I had heard of it, but I never saw it. Because Trailer Sailor, obviously.
Even before Trailer Sailor.
No, but before Trailer Sailor,
I recommended it or requested it. No, I've never even heard of this movie.
I knew of it. I remembered the painterly backgrounds, and I was like, that looks interesting, and just never got around to it.
Yep. Seems like a lot of times what happens with Robin Williams movies.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I noticed going through his filmography, he has some odd ones on there that I never remembered him making.
Yeah, kudos to him for taking all those risks, though. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Never content
to choose one thing. He was always trying to do something different. Look at 1 hour photo to Miss Doubtfire.
Or Bicentennial Man. He's also in AI. I forgot he's
Jack,
in AI.
Where he was the opposite of Progeria, or is it Progeria, where you turn into an old man real quick?
Is that Benjamin Button disease?
It's the opposite Benjamin Button disease. So, like, when he's 5 years old, he looks like...
He's 30 already or something.
40.
Right?
Yeah. So, I remember, like, the scene, he's, like, graduating from high school, and he's an old 90-year-old man. I shouldn't be laughing at that, but it's kind of a funny scene.
Yeah, it's all kind of funny.
Robin Williams always make me laugh, even to
damn
this
it.
Day.
I'm supposed to be somber. Somebody died. But God damn it, Robin Williams, your hairy arms
laughing.
Make me laugh.
Still laughing. Oh,
can't take you seriously.
That was as a young kid, when did you see the Robin Williams Live on Broadway special?
Yeah,
it was fantastic. But my favorite bit was when he was going into his arm, he was like, this is what it looks like when I go down on a lady. And it's just his big hairy arms.
Man, that dude is fucking hairy.
He is very hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
have nothing more to say about the hair on that man's body.
I don't really either. I was going for some sort of setup here. I don't really know where we're going to go here. So Micah requested this movie. This movie is for you, Micah. Really, really hardcore preemptive apologies here. But the one thing is that Ryan and I wanted to do with this show and every episode of the show. We're honest.
Yes.
Even if we hardcore disagree, we're going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may honestly hate Ryan, which I do.
Yes. Yes.
But the only reason he's here is because he's the only one that agreed to the terms of the contract that I presented to him, and he signed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's here. That's it. But other than that, it's no love lost. But I think we both gained a friendship point because we both agreed on this movie, which is a rarity.
Yes. Yes, we did. And are we just going to jump right into it? Is that?
I think we're going to jump right into the part that, spoiler alert, we didn't like this movie.
No. And maybe we might disagree to the extent of which we disliked it. But no, we both came away not feeling too positive about this one.
It's a theme I'm noticing with these serious Robin Williams roles now. Second time we've been burned.
Yep.
After hearing nothing but good things. But before we really get into it, I don't really have a bumper because as well as almost everything else on this film, the soundtrack is incredibly forgettable. There's nothing that stands out. It's like
so
generic.
Yeah. It's like generic movie trailer music. Mm-hmm. Not even like generic movie music, but it's from movie trailers.
Yeah, nothing. There's no overarching theme that ties into certain characters.
Think of like the trailer for Mrs. Doubtfire, and that one's cool. Music kind of playing in the that's this movie when it's happy, and then when it's dark and sad, it's the big bah, 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 just dark tones, completely forgettable.
So in lieu of having actual music play like sometimes happens for bumpers, we will instead be cutting to Our resident badass, Mr. Sound Engineer Andre, will be reading the brief synopsis of this movie at this point.
Oh, I like that.
With maybe some generic music underneath that we won't get hit for copyright infringement with. So
you just play the soundtrack for this movie and we still probably won't get
they
copyrighted.
They would never recognize it.
It's like, we did that? That's ours?
So without further ado, and until we join you again, here is Sound Engineer's Andy. And yeah, I'm just going to stop there. Sound Engineer's Andy.
Patch Adams is a film about the human condition. The character, played by Robin Williams, details the true-to-movie account of Hunter Patch Adams. The movie begins with him admitting himself to the mental ward. Believing that he was a genie, he began to take interest in the emotional well-being of the ward's patients. After serving stint as a cross-dressing nanny, Patch attends Virginia Medical College, vowing to change the conditions he encountered during his stay at the ward. After graduation, Patch would have to put his dreams of being a doctor on hold when his country called him to duty during the Vietnam conflict. While serving as a DJ in the Armed Services Radio Corps, Patch created a board game that is said to have mystical qualities. Returning stateside, Patch worked brief stints at a one-hour photo booth, as a private college English instructor, and would move on to become an Ivy League mathematics professor. The true story of Hunter Patch Adams, a man determined to become a doctor because he enjoys helping people. He dallied where no doctor had dallied before, using funny and pathos.
All right, my kudos and massive thanks to Sound Engineer Andre for bringing some breadth and some wit to that.
Dare I say gravitas?
Yeah, some gravitas to that apt description of this fantastic piece of filmmaking.
I can't wait to see how he actually delivers it as we are saying these great things.
I can just we haven't heard it. These are always recorded after we make the episode, but I'm imagining clown horns in the background.
I can know, it's slide whistles. Lots of slide whistles.
Man, Micah.
Robin Williams
Micah,
is a man
I'm
whose
so
family
sorry.
Died. Woo!
Very, very sorry, Micah. If you don't want to continue to support us, I totally understand.
I don't think any of you should support us. You're wasting your money and you're wasting your time. We're not good. Please stop listening.
Thank you. You know, go ahead, Micah. You get another one if you want. You can tell us to do something else. Just know it's probably going to be honest if it's not something we like. I was surprised.
You are really dragging your feedback thing into this.
I know. We're getting into it now. This movie reminded me exactly like the fucking Fisher King. Go ahead and start there.
I will go ahead and start with I liked it even less than the Fisher King.
Boy, they were pretty much equal for me.
Yeah.
Although going back, I think I would watch this before I'd watch Fisher King again.
The Fisher King was a mess, but there was like this spot in the middle that was maybe like 30 minutes that I kind of just sank into the tune of the movie. I like whatever the tone, like I just got it and it was vibing with me for 30 minutes. And then it ended poorly and I didn't like the stuff that came beforehand, but there was a part in it that really worked for me. Nothing really worked for me in this movie. And we can dive in from there, yeah. But just to say it generically, I don't think this movie particularly did anything well outside of the visuals and maybe the imagination behind it.
Yep.
But even then, it's like there's an asterisk on it because this is based off of a book. And then how much did they get from the book when it came to like describing these visuals? And this very much feels like an adaptation of a book because it seems like a lot's been edited out. And the editing in this movie is atrocious.
It's very jarring.
It's not only jarring, it makes it overly complicated when it doesn't have to be. Like, we are given pieces of a puzzle like 2 minutes at a time. Every 10 minutes we get like another two piece of one scene that goes on. And it breaks up the flow of the movie, so it has this very stop-and-go kind of pace to it. So it doesn't ever feel as fun as it needs to be when it needs to be. It never feels as dark and serious as it needs to be because it's always kind of shifting between these things.
And then I totally agree with what you're saying there. And then I also feel like it's kind of teasing this whole big payoff that when you get there...
Yeah.
Why? What the hell is this big? Like they're talking about a double D day or the double D. I'm like, you find out what the fuck that is finally, and you're like,
It has no meaning to it.
No, I don't. There's no weight, no gravitas there, nothing. No. So.
This, you know what it felt like? It's like that episode of Lost where you find out about Jack's tattoo. And it's like, we don't need to know about that. That's irrelevant. Yeah. Like,
don't care.
Double D Day, just what? She wanted a divorce when she was depressed and said it and then decided not to. Like, that's Double D Day. Okay, cool. But, you know, maybe it was handled better in the book. I think because of the editing, it makes that moment meaningless. And I think something else that makes that moment meaningless is that this movie feels like it has no rules.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Nothing makes sense. Like, Cuba Gooding Jr. is there to try to help kind of establish the world and set boundaries, which is essentially there's no boundaries except for...
But then Cuba Gooding Jr. is a cheap payoff, too.
Oh, that... we gotta save that for the end. I know. All this... or at least I don't the like end of this any discussion. Of that.
Okay.
But, yeah. No, but the... You get to that point at the end where he's trying to save his wife. And spoilers. There are going to be spoilers because it's a 20-something-year-old movie.
Yeah.
So
past the point of no return, people. We're actually doing you a favor if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so.
Sorry, Micah.
I think this is one... Well, I'll finish my thought. But so at the end, it loses all of its weight and meaning when he tries to free his wife, who goes to hell because... their kids died, then he dies, and she's left alone, so she commits suicide, and suicide makes you go straight to hell. And it's not fiery and brimstone, but it's like all in your head. It's like your regrets, and you live just the worst parts of your life over again or something. So he goes to save her, goes into hell to find her, and the reason they have this happy ending is because he doesn't leave her.
He chooses to not leave her. And instead give up his...
But it's this thing that comes out of nowhere. At no point do they explain how he could, why this would happen. It just feels like a happy ending for the sake of a happy ending. And it makes the movie just feel kind of meaningless because there are no rules to anything. Oh my God. Oh, I forgot about the ending, which has made me even more mad. About how once he goes through fucking heaven and hell to find this woman, finds her... like almost loses himself into hell by staying with her.
And then she brings him back.
They're back together and sees their kids, they get reincarnated to maybe find each other again. What a dumb fucking decision.
Yeah, it's all so weird. Like they choose to go reincarnated and he's like, it's okay. The kids want us to. They'll be here waiting.
You know, it felt like
what?
It felt like the end of Interstellar.
Then why are you going? Why are you doing this? Yeah. What is the... This is my big gripe with this whole fucking movie. Mm-hmm. What is the point? What is the purpose? What are you trying to tell me? All movies have an end... You know, they have something they're trying to say. I have no idea what this movie is trying to tell me.
I think it's just like a sappy romance novel. But... with some supernatural stuff. I think maybe this was like a precursor to Twilight. Like, except not young adult because it is so dark, but it's that kind of thing. I think this is very interesting why Micah likes this, and I would love to hear why.
I would like to too.
And like, not going to fight you or anything. I just want to hear. Like, I'm very genuinely curious, but it feels like a romance. It feels like a Romeo and Juliet romance.
I don't think either of us have complaints or legs to stand on because I think you and my both number one movies are these weird love stories.
Yes.
We get that. Yes. I just don't... This one seems not... And again, I'm not knocking people who like whatever they like, but I don't see the point in this one. It doesn't affect me. And maybe that's whole reason it's reaching Mike is because it's hitting him on this some level that I'm not... privy to. Like, I like the weirdness of Punch Drunk Love and the awkwardness. That's what really speaks to me in that movie, and that's why I love that one.
Yeah, I like the dark cynicism and Eternal Sunshine, and
you know, I don't
the questions
outside of you and like one other person. I don't know anybody who, number one, has even heard of Punch Drunk Love or who has seen it that actually likes it. Most people don't like that movie.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. That's
because I think they go in expecting an Adam Sandler movie, like a Happy Gilmore or something.
That's cool. I know what the purpose and point
not the same.
And what that movie is trying to tell me.
Yeah.
I get the narrative there. I don't know. This movie jumps around so much. And it, like you said, it has no rules. Like
I also,
it's cool visually at points, but that's like an excuse to do things. They don't really serve a purpose. Like, at the beginning, I really liked the way the paint world looked.
Yeah.
That was really fucking cool, really well done, especially for something done in 1998 with, I'm assuming, some sort of, you know, computer graphic stuff.
Yeah.
It held up really well.
I would say, for the most part,
yeah.
There was, when they tried to follow the dove, like he made the dove and there was like the scene transition, it was done in a way that made me almost like seasick.
Okay.
Looking at it, like it was just badly distorted. Just it, I saw like the computer lines essentially, like, you know, the Matrix like crosshatch lines.
Sure,
like
yeah.
I could see how they were texturing it, and it just made me kind of sick.
There's also a poop,
but that was
joke
like
in
it.
There.
Oh my god, yeah. What, this fucking movie?
I
like,
know, man,
it deals with two kids dying
right at the
parents
start,
losing that, divorce, depression,
suicide.
And you're gonna fucking have a poop joke? Like, and not even just like our like a realistic one, but like when that bird poops, it farts really loudly.
It's
goes
very. It's like the
and like lets out a poop on Robin Williams. It's like
Phantom Menace.
What's this
shit?
Fucking shit? What is this shit?
Yeah.
But yeah. So again, it's totally all over the place. It makes no sense.
That's my big like. It's so tonally jarring. Like
yeah.
From one scene to the next, like you said, maybe that's editing too. Like, it jumps around. Like, that, nothing has weight in this world.
One of the editing tricks, too, that really gets on my nerves, and a lot of movies don't do this anymore, but it's that really... think of opening scene, Reservoir Dogs, where they're walking out, and it's that choppy slow motion. Like, not the good, smooth slow motion, but that choppy slow motion. This scene felt the need to do it, like, every 2-3 minutes... for no reason. And it was always like someone looking off the screen, like in slow motion, like Cuba Gooding Jr. says something and Robin Williams goes.
Well, and like
slow motion. Why do we need to do it? That doesn't signify anything. You use slow motion to draw focus to a pivotal scene or something the character's doing. Looking at a character who's talking to you means nothing. He learns nothing in that scene. Save those scenes for something special. Use them for something special. This film is like an artist let loose, and he's doing everything he can visually, but he doesn't know how the fuck to tie it together or how to make it meaningful.
Or make it work in a theme. So this
and again, I'm
else.
So sorry, Micah.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting worked up, but
that's fine. I
honestly, I would have stopped this movie 30 minutes in.
I
was from
yeah
from minute one, where in the first 3 minutes they kill off the two kids. And then they cut to 4 years later. I was like, I already don't like this. I don't like the editing. I don't like how they're handling this. Nothing has any weight because you don't let our characters grieve.
Yeah.
And that actually goes back into the romance. And why I don't think this movie works there is because you don't have those two characters, Robin Williams and this other actress, like have any good romantic scenes together. They have the one scene on the boat and that's it. Otherwise, it's them dealing with hardship and depression and talking about divorce and all this negative stuff we see. Why do we care if these characters get back together when you don't show us why it's good? You can't just say, have a character say, oh, we used to be good. That's what we're going back to. That's not a good payoff. Show, don't tell movies. And this is why I don't think.
And again, maybe that's lost in the translation from book to movie, because in a book you can.
That's all
do
you do
that.
Is tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it
but,
makes sense.
And it's so hard to. To navigate into a film. Again, I'm going to use two words to describe a lot of things in this movie. And I think you'll agree with me.
Okay.
The second word is fisted. Okay?
Okay.
So the first word is ham.
Oh, was it?
This movie is...
I thought it was bush fisted.
Ham fisted.
Yes.
Everything, it's just like farting it in your face.
What?
I don't know. I wanted to bring back fart references.
I just like when we say fart on the
so
podcast.
Like, all right, so here's my point of frame for this. So his young daughter, who I didn't know was a daughter at first. I thought it was a young boy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got that weird... It's like the blonde kid from Home Improvement's haircut.
Yeah,
it's like real short.
So
that's a kid from Home Improvement. Oh, no, it's a girl. Oh,
she's sick, and she has this mobile model of like these weird stairs in her bedroom that turn out to be his interpretation of the steps of heaven. And yet when it keeps cutting back and forth, and that's the thing, like This movie doesn't let you find things in these cuts. It zooms in and like shows you like, oh, here's the little doll that looks like the little girl that's going to come back later.
It is not confident in the audience.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
It's ham fucking fisted.
Every reveal, they show you
like,
and then they go back.
Times.
And then they show you again.
Yes.
And then they go back again. Yes. And then they show you and they go back again. And it's like that with every big moment in this movie. You're right. I think we need to jump into these reveals, Kyle.
Okay, go into it.
I fucking hate this. I hate this.
It happens Everything to you else, twice.
Yeah, well, three times. Because the Asian girl is the daughter.
Oh, shit, you're right. God
so,
damn it.
This is the stupidest fucking device. And I don't know if it's in the book. This is like everything else I'm saying. It's just like, damn, I wish it could have been better. Like, that sucks that the movie did this and said, this is how it could have been better. I hate this. This is irredeemable. I don't like this surprise twist for the sake of surprise twist when we find out this Asian girl he's talking to is his daughter. That's kind of whatever. But then we learn Cuba Gooding Jr. this entire time, who he thought was his old professor, was his son.
His older son.
His oldest son. And then we find out that the mentor who was taking them into hell,
who?
The old man, just Max von Sydow.
Fucking Max von Sydow.
I know. He's great. He is very good in this. I think he's the only actor perfectly cast. No one else is good in the roles they were given.
I think the wife, even Robin Williams, to a degree,
yeah,
but it
I'd
gets
say,
over her head.
Yeah. There's not much she can do with what she's given.
Yeah.
She's given the Winona Ryder in Stranger Things role,
yeah,
which is a hard thing to pull off for anyone. But
sorry.
So we find out Max von Sydow, who's been guiding Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robin Williams around this entire time, is the old professor. So why the fuck do we have the kid pretending to be the professor and then the professor being pretending to be someone else? It's all this. It makes no sense for the context of the movie. I mean, they say like, oh, it's because you're not ready to see us yet. Whatever that means. They don't really pay off that at all.
See,
but it's just because the movie wants to fucking trick you.
Yes. That's what it turns out. The explanation was that. So his son was pretending to be the professor because he says, well, he's the only person you ever listened to.
Yeah.
And then Max von Sydow was. So also the professor was a black man. So that's the first trick. So his son is pretending to be a black man who's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
And then so the professor is obviously being played by Max von Sydow, an old English dude who's white. And he's pretending to be him because he was a psychiatrist and that's what he pictured a psychiatrist being, I guess.
You know.
That's the explanation I got.
Then why is Robin Williams the only one who hasn't changed and is fucking someone else?
Because that's who he wants to be.
He wants himself
to be his idealized self, I guess. That's what I got from it. Again, I don't know, really.
That's the thing, there are no rules.
Yeah.
There are no rules for this shit. So
why does his wife, when she finally comes to heaven, still have that god-awful fucking haircut?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a different haircut.
It's still that fucking weird bob like the chick from Incredibles.
That's fine. I thought you were talking about like her in the depression cycle.
No, I like that.
Cut up.
That's one of the few things
thing?
I like.
Oh, but
because
dude.
I get what they're going for there. Again, it's ham-fisted.
It's
but she's fucking crazy, so she cuts her own hair all crazy weird. Sure, I'm okay.
Yeah,
but man, I don't know, that fucking haircut. Like I said, is fucking awful.
I was okay with that haircut.
Oh,
I have nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
nothing wrong.
I like this. We're disagreeing here.
Yeah.
Hooray! It's like a regular episode.
You're wrong. This is nothing like a regular episode.
I know.
No, it is. It's absolutely like a regular episode.
So, I want to get into some other things. Again,
yeah,
I think,
what else do we hit?
Like, that's fucking atrocious. All those fucking reveals. It's cheap.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in the book. I've never read the book.
That's the thing. I can't judge off of it. But in the movie, it just feels like they're trying to trick you. It's like, haha, gotcha. And it's like, did you? Because I don't care.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, man. There's so many things. And I've got a lot of hypotheticals towards the end.
Interesting.
What was your interpretation? How did you feel they represented hell in this movie? That's my first big question.
I thought there were some ideas I liked and some I did not.
Yeah.
I do like anything that subverts the standard, and I like when Cuba Gooding gives the lines like, what, did you expect fire and brimstone or something like that? And they didn't go that route. A plus for effort. I like the faces of everybody out on the ground.
I liked that part.
I think that's very fascinating. That then when really he falls cool, through, really weird. You see it's just like a bunch of bodies.
Really surreal.
Yeah, yep. It's almost like something out of God of War or something. Yeah. It's really cool. That's it. I thought everything else was kind of generic or uninteresting. Though that big boat yard, I think that was all practical. So that's just a giant set. And I thought...
It was actually a derelict boat yard. Was it? Yes, ah. They did film it there.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
What I would have liked... So here's my first problem. And I think like 5 more years of computer graphic imagery would have helped it a lot. So, you know, they obviously couldn't pay... They didn't have a budget to pay a lot of people to be hanging around just laying and pretending to be dead.
Yeah.
So hell looks pretty fucking sparse when they're walking through. Up until they get to the face point. There's like, you know, 30 dead bodies just kind of hanging here. That's really it. I mean, it's a minor stupid complaint.
Yeah.
That's kind of one for me. Number two, I, again, because I do this all the time, the fucking boatyard aspect, the reason that it is that... is because, again, Cuba Gooding Jr. is the son who was building the model boat at the beginning. And that's really his hell that we're going through. And that's why they're fucking broke down derelict ships.
Makes sense.
It's kind of dumb, though. Like,
yeah, but the rest of the movie is kind of dumb. Like, yeah. I mean, it fits. Like, at least that's consistent. Because you get to the wife and it's her version of hell. And it's a set.
I'm surprised they didn't have like a flashback where it zoomed in on the fucking model boat he was building.
Yeah, that's actually... Well, yeah, that's true.
Because it's so ham-fisted and everything else, that part's left pretty vague. But I guess... I don't know. Huh. It's all so silly.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I could talk about pretty much anything you want, Kyle. What else do you have on your list?
So...
Do you want to go through the actors and... how they did, because I, like I said, I think everyone is very, very miscast here, especially Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
I don't think he works at all in this movie.
I thought...
At all.
Okay, before we get there, too, I also thought there would be more of a payoff, because apparently, obviously, the wife can see through to this other realm of dead people, because sometimes she paints people in this blurry aspect, and then... That's just gone after the first act. It's just not referenced. Yeah. Like I thought it would be
a smarter
something like,
movie would have used it for like one of them giving like a clue to another to unlock like, and that's how he learns where she is or something. No, it's just let's go see this magic old man who will take us to this magic human elevator shaft who will take us, and it's just all this shit that comes out of nowhere. They again, it's the we're gonna set these things up, but they don't mean anything. Yeah. There's no payoff to them. It's a one and done thing. Writers. Script writers fucking bring things back. There's no
reason
not
to. If you're going to reference it, at least.
Otherwise, don't show us.
And I wonder again if that was a point and it got lost in editing.
I think it was.
Because this is... It's a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. What else did they cut out?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more that was left on the floor that just...
You know what this movie really reminds me of? Like, the present-day contemporary? The Lovely Bones.
Really?
Yes. Have you seen it?
I enjoy The Lovely Bones.
Oh, I hate it.
That's crazy.
Which is, I think it's really bad.
Future ep. Because I really like, I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I did too, and that was enough. Yeah. But I thought it was tone deaf. It went for weird comedic moments and then really, really somber bad moments. I thought it set up a lot of stuff. And ultimately, both of these movies feel like they were made by somebody who read the book. And I was like, I love this book. I want to do this. And then turns out, hey, they actually don't understand what that book's about.
They both also rely heavily on narration, which is, again, the number one sin of
visuals.
Yeah,
the only thing.
They have cool visuals, but visuals have to have a purpose.
Yes, and I think both of them don't necessarily you realize that.
It's been like over 5 years since I saw Lovely Bones, so I don't know for sure. This is interesting to me going back.
I'd say the only movies that Peter Jackson made with CG that were truly great, The Frighteners. In the Lord of the Rings movies. That's it.
King Kong was also awesome.
No.
I think it was. Outside of the dinosaur chase in the tunnel.
It's fine.
That's pretty bad.
That is a movie that is oh man, look what I can do with CG. And yeah, that's the only reason it exists.
That King Kong T-Rex fight, though, is pretty fucking tight.
It's okay. I don't think it even compares to anything in the new Kong movie.
That new Kong movie is the shit,
right?
That fucking movie is awesome. That
those are tight fight scenes, and they understand how to have a fun movie.
I really like that T-Rex fight, though. But that's just me. I'm being biased.
I think it goes to like the tone. Like Peter Jackson doesn't always handle tones well. Yeah. And you go from like Andy Serkis getting his head chomped off by like a giant bug in King Kong to like silly fun. Now you're supposed to enjoy it when King Kong's beating up dinosaurs. And it's like this, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I get you there. Well, Murph. It's Ryan Dogs Murphy. Murphy Brown, everybody.
It is. I don't know if it's Murphy Brown, but we can say that.
I've always called it Murphy Brown.
All right, well, you can keep that.
It's my head canon.
Yeah.
Here's another hypothetical I had just thinking about this movie. So
much like this movie, my dog is pretty but dumb.
Nice reference. This movie is all over the place. Like, it doesn't really, it's not beholden to one specific religion. Because, I mean, there's elements of, like, the Christian heaven, but then there's also, like, reincarnation from Hindu. I think it's Hindu. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, this is getting real, maybe kind of deep, but I got nothing really else to say. Ryan, what is your interpretation of when we die, man? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, I don't care about talking about religion, because whatever.
It's not even, just, yeah. But you think something happens, or...
I would consider myself agnostic. I'm not atheist. I think there is probably something greater out there. And whether it is a god, whether it is, I don't know, big giant magical platypus, whether it's just aliens or something, we're primitive apes to them, whatever. I don't know. I do think there is something higher out there. I think we are all too dumb to understand or interpret.
Okay.
So I don't know. I have no idea. And anybody who says for sure what happens afterwards,
they
is
don't know
bullshit.
Either. Yeah. Nobody knows. Bullshit. And that's the entire basis of faith.
Yeah.
And that's what I get. I get a fucking weird anger thing from like Christians and all these people and, you know, even people of Islam. Anybody who says that they know God exists, you fucking don't, man, because that's the basis of
faith.
It's
faith. You have to believe in it.
But if we're getting real serious and heavy,
you don't believe in things that you know.
Yeah. You just know, and then you don't have to
believe in sound engineer Andy.
I do too. I believe that he's pretty fucking amazing.
That's all right. You want my religion? It's sound engineer Andy. When we die, we all go to heaven and we just watch Trailer Sailor forever.
We just hang
out. It's the best.
We just hang out and talk about fucking weird shit.
Or if you go to hell, Andy is also there, but he's very quiet, so you don't get to appreciate the brilliance.
He talks to you, but
it's just a tease.
You hear
a
quiet like this sometimes. And you're like, no, I want to hear it.
What? What?
No. I think I'm also, I would classify myself as agnostic, but more, again, we joke, but more towards really the nihilistic side.
There's
where like
nothing.
There's, I don't believe that there's fucking anything out there. You die and you're fucking dead, man.
You don't believe in Bigfoots or Sasquatches or ghosts or aliens?
I definitely don't believe in ghosts, and I think people who do believe in ghosts are somewhat retarded.
So throwing
out
that's
hard R's.
The one you go with, huh? Well, so all right, of the three, Bigfoot, ghosts, and aliens, which one is more contentious to believe in to you?
Which one?
If I said I were to believe in one, which one would you be most disappointed in me about?
Ghosts.
Really? Bigfoot?
Over Bigfoot. Because of the fact that, like, I don't believe that anything exists after this life, so ghosts are fucking retarded.
Yeah, but a giant man-ape. The only way he exists is if he travels into dimensions,
sure,
and he's a fourth-dimensional Bigfoot.
But Bigfoot is also a thing of nature, and there are still things in nature that we haven't found. And I'm not saying it's fucking great.
But the world's getting smaller every day. We got drones and shit, buddy.
So if we've got ghosts here,
we got those probes.
Bigfoot
from Prometheus
is like
going
right
around
here. But now aliens... Aliens are pretty up here. I think there's other shit way out there.
Oh, yeah.
Do I believe they've come here and put stuff up our butt? No, I wish they would. I like butt stuff. But no, I don't think
Kyle's,
they've come here.
Kyle's opinions do not reflect mine.
Sure.
I don't fuck with aliens. I don't fuck with the war.
I don't fuck with the war.
I don't want any of that.
But the brain got to poop, yo.
Brain got to poop.
No, I think... I think we're fucking dead, and we're dead, dude. Get over it. That's it. You fucking impacted the world in no way, and neither did anybody else.
But the only thing that ever gets me, and this is like the weird, like, college philosophy bullshit, is how can it be nothing after we die if we are cognizant and conscious of our consciousness right now? Because this is a memory. Where would this memory go? I can remember things currently. So therefore, if when I die, nothing exists, that memory never happened, where do the memories go? I have these memories. And therefore, if I have memories now, they can't just disappear?
See, to me, those memories are just fucking electrons and synapses firing off in that brain at this point that eventually will degrade over time, like your body will when you die.
So then what happens when you die?
You just rot, man. You're fucking nothing. That's all it is. Those synapses, which get weaker as you die, and that's why your memories become cloudier and foggier, will eventually go away too, man. People will live on through you, you know.
Yeah.
Your wife will remember you after you're gone for a little bit. If you have kids, they'll remember you and keep the memory they have of you, but it won't be the true you. They'll have this idealized, stylistic version of you that they keep in their mind. Maybe it's getting heavy. I don't know,
man. It is getting heavy. Yeah. I just, again, I find it hard
and that's
to
cool.
picture. Just like hard to even imagine like how that's possible to just not have anything anymore. Anything. Like,
I don't
even
know where
like when
else
I think
it would go.
People
Everything.
Go into comas or something. Yeah. It's like this dream state or something. Like,
I think it's just blackness for the most part when they're in comas. Outside of the people that are
how
alive.
Can we be aware?
I mean, that's... So how can we be aware? How can Murph not be aware? Murph has no concept of
Murph
time
also
or...
forgets everything.
Exactly. But she has a brain and she is cognizant. But she's not of this higher evolved level of brain use that we are. That's all is. Like, you leave the fucking door and come back 5 minutes later, she's not going to know the difference between that and 2 hours. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's all brain use and brain function, and the brain dies. It's fucking tissue like everything else. It's going to rot away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is great philosophical discussion. Mm-hmm. I like this. You don't think it is?
It's not good. Sound engineer Andy deems this unacceptable
conversation. What is your thoughts, Andy? What do we do when we die? We fucking become ejaculate in a tube sock of the universe? I like that. Now I can get behind that.
What does that even mean?
Nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
I mean, I could get behind this tube sock cult.
Let's start.
When we offen ourselves, I'm in.
All right, so my other theoretical philosophical...
I love philosophicals.
I love falafel discussions. What is your interpretation of a falafel and a gyro? What's the difference?
A gyro, for starters.
Yeah, sure.
A falafel has falafel in it.
What is falafel?
It's crispy little... It's kind of like hummus, but it's not hummus. But it's like this little paste that they put into a crunchy ball. Those are falafels. It's like a hush puppy, but with hummus, but with hummus.
Okay, a hush puppy with hummus.
Otherwise, it's still pita, meat, onion, tomato, whatever else. It's tzatziki, right? But with falafels
sauce,
on it.
Man, I
That's
fucking
it.
Love tzatziki sauce.
Tzatziki sauce is great.
If I did have a heaven, it would be rivers of tzatziki sauce.
If you could pick any sauce in heaven, would you go with tzatziki sauce? Or would it become?
What's the difference, huh? Huh? It would be, man, I don't know, tzatziki or Polynesian sauce from fucking Chick-fil-A.
Polynesian sauce, that's a good choice. That's an interesting choice.
That shit's good, man.
I don't agree.
Okay.
But I like that choice.
Yeah.
I like that choice. I think it'd have to be like a cheese sauce for me. Just any kind of cheese. But it couldn't be hot. But like... Warm enough, because you don't want like hard cheese, but like just like a tub of macaroni and cheese sauce minus all the macaroni. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Just like nacho cheese for like breadsticks?
Maybe. Yeah. Or like queso. Let's change it to queso.
Okay.
Let's change it to queso.
I like that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. queso is the best. Let's change it to queso.
All right, I got one more hypothetical.
Sure, sure.
And we'll round it out. But before I get to that, do you have anything else you'd like to touch on? Or Murph's got some points. Murph's like, motherfucker, I got more than 2 hours cognizant time differentials.
She's people. She's bossing more around there. You hear?
She is people. I'm sorry, Murph, that I doubted your brain cognitive functions. Please forgive me.
You know, I can get behind reincarnation.
You really can.
I could get behind that.
I like the idea of it, but I don't think it ever is a thing.
I can't get past the idea of there's not something else afterwards. What it is, sure. I have no fucking idea. If we do turn to flies, that's cool. It has to go on.
Okay.
It has to go on. Something has to go on.
There's a lot of people like that, and I respect. I'm completely different. Yeah. I think,
but I can get behind reincarnation.
Sure,
I'm done with that.
All right, man.
The good get better or stay human, and
until you reach the.
Do you know how that works? Do you know how it works? I don't know how it works.
Well, and reincarnation, it's based on your life now.
Yeah.
Determines what you get reincarnated as.
So, what is the peak? Is human peak?
I believe or humanity a cow's peak? Is well, man, cows are pretty high up there, right? But that's just in India where Hindu is based. I don't know, man. I really don't know enough to say determinately. But I do know that like you get reincarnated based on your current existence.
What if we are not the peak? And if you're really good, you get to be the aliens doing butt stuff to people. Right? Boy.
Then I'm going to change my entire life now. I'm going to be the best I can be.
Come with us. We're starting
starting
a cult.
the cult of the tube sock?
Slash alien butt stuff.
Send your tube socks to us at Experience Grind HQ, and you are in.
Oh, I like this idea. Yeah. But seriously, you're in if you send us a tube sock.
Yeah.
Please send us a tube sock. We'll put the address somewhere.
Yeah. No,
we'll get a P.O. box.
If you want to send us tube socks to Experience Grind HQ, message us on our Facebook or our email, experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com, and we will give you the address, and you can join this cult.
Yeah.
Me and Ryan are starting a cult. You heard it here first.
Look at this. To incentivize, we'll even start like one of those little Facebook group chats, and you'll only get the invite if you send us a tube sock.
And I tell you what.
And we're fun people to chat with.
The one person who does not have to send a tube sock, Micah Perdue.
That's true. Because he already sent a used tube sock up a movie recommendation. Burn!
Oh!
You cheater?
You cheater?
God. I'm kidding. It's this movie, a lot of people love it. It's not for me.
It's not for me either, man. All right, so that's a great segue to my final point.
Ooh, yeah. That worked out great.
What would it take to make it for you? And by that, here's my biggest problem with this film. I think it's way bigger than the director could handle.
I agree.
Who is your dream director for this movie? Who do you think could actually make it work?
Interesting. You say this. Do you already have a director in
mind? I have two. Right, but
so
I think
you're
one is
to
better
for me.
But so I can take lead first and let you
go
think
for
a bit.
Yeah.
So my first one, I think, based on his handling of a different movie, sort of this dream state nature, I think Christopher Nolan could do some good with this.
That came to mind.
Yeah, because of Inception and the way that he handles all of these weird things.
I think it'd also give it the weight and gravitas it needs.
But my other choice,
I think he's a lot smarter with symbolism. It could really pay off.
Yes, way better with symbolism.
But
based on the fact that this movie hints at and wants to get with surrealism, the person who I would really like to see directed.
Say Terry Gilliam?
No, because I did not like what he did with Fisher King. I'm staying away from Terry Gilliam.
Okay.
I think David Lynch could do a lot of cool stuff with this. Yes, very weird. And I think this movie flirts with weird, but doesn't get there.
Okay.
I think David Lynch would take it there, and that's what it needs to do.
Okay.
So those are my two dream directors, but I would prefer Lynch. Lynch would make it more weird and arty and avant-garde, whereas Nolan would make it much more for the mainstream. And much more, it would be, everybody could watch it, but there'd be stuff there for bigger film nerds.
Sure.
So that's what I would go with.
I would maybe disagree about film for everyone with David Lynch.
No, that's what I didn't say. David Lynch. I said Nolan would be the film for
Nolan,
everyone.
Nolan.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got two just like you, and it depends on kind of how you play this movie. If you're going for something smarter, And really, like you with Nolan, like something more meaningful. You could do something with the symbolism. You could do something with the tone better. Spike Jonze. And I think he would bring like something creative visually
to
it.
Sure.
And he knows how to like walk between that weird Coen Brothers humor and whatever with also like fantastical ideas and elements. I think he'd do it well. And I think the religion aspects alone would be enough for him to work with because he's great with like these heavy ideas. But going the other way, if you're going to make this something like an, like a, this feels like it could have almost been like an Amblin type movie. I say J.J. Abrams, make this like schmaltzy, make it like give this movie feeling and emotion and make it like make us care when these characters get back together, make us weep when these children die and then he dies and all this stuff. The death in this movie is like way over the top and ridiculous.
Not
and
even over the top. We don't even really get to see him. And
we don't see the kids die at all. He just even touches Robin the Williams, car and his is
it's just a flash of a car flipping through and then he's on the ground and not touched and that car that flipped through is not there. I don't know.
Yeah. But so I think J.J. Abrams could make that work. Look at what he did with Super 8. Like something like that. Like that's what I would picture is like Super 8 but with this story. I think it would be very, again, visually interesting. I think it would be surprising. I think J.J. Abrams does usually a lot with twists and reveals, keeping Star Trek Into Darkness aside, which is one of the worst reveals. I think he'd be a good choice, too.
Okay,
but again,
man.
It just depends which way you go.
All right. I like that. Also, break. God damn it. I'm sorry. I got to pee, man.
I was trying to push it. I got to go.
All right, man. So, really, that's... I didn't enjoy this at all. There was 2 hours of my life. I think this movie was easily at least a half hour too long.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I think I could have seen a 2.5 hour version movie if it was handled well.
Yeah, maybe by one of our dream directors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Bam. That's really was that the sound from Inception when the train's coming? Sick reference.
Box is turning.
The world is upside down.
Bang.
I'm in my own dream.
Boom. We just made a trailer.
That's fucking amazing. Trailer Sailor, what's your thoughts on that one? Hey, he gave thumbs up. Two thumbs up.
Oh,
we fucking made it.
Man, that's
hire
great.
Us, Amblin or Universal or Sony Pictures. We'll make the fucking best trailers.
Oh, yeah.
We'll tailor. I think you're good. We will tailor those trailers to sound engineer Andre, who is the resident Trailer Sailor. Speaking of Trailer Sailor.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's a show on our fucking media empire that we do, right?
It is. If you guys don't know, we have a YouTube channel, you motherfuckers.
A pretty good one.
Yeah, it's, you know, and we're over 50 subscribers right now, which is more than I thought we'd get.
We lost one yesterday, and then I checked today. We gained two more.
Boom, that's how
holy
that happens.
Holy shit. Fucking A, all right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That one person was a huge Zack Snyder
fuck
fan.
That
and they
person.
Finally got to the Batman episode, and they were like, we're out. This guy's just making jerk-off motions and saying Twin Towers. Twin
I don't
towers.
Get it. I don't get it. Anyway, yeah, we have this. And one of the shows on that network is Trailer Sailor.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, All right. I hate almost everything we do. Just
<You're such laughs> and you call me the nihilist. I love it.
Real nihil. It's like hipsters, man.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself a nihilist if you're a nihilist. Anyway. I hate everything we do.
I love it.
Except for Trailer Sailor. I genuinely love this. I might be the number one fan. I made a sound engineer Andy GIF.
Yeah. You
I
need to make more
so
GIFs, by
I'm
the way.
I'm going to make more, yes. Once worthy stuff starts happening, I will do this. But like, it's fantastic. I love his. It's the perfect sense of humor that you're not getting from anywhere else on YouTube when it comes to these trailer shows. Are they shows? Who knows? Whatever.
It's honest. It's very dry. It's very cynical.
It is.
But it's honest.
Yeah, yeah. And I think. Okay, you keep saying this. It comes from a point of view that I don't think we typically get on YouTube, and I think that's what makes it fascinating and what makes it stands out. So,
speaking of YouTube and our channel, what else do we have on there, Ryan?
We also have our showdowns,
yeah.
Which we've been going for almost a year strong on.
Are they almost a year old? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, because we're going to be 2 years.
We
in
are.
September.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a new thing we did. We've been doing it for a while, and I think they're cut together pretty well. I think much more interesting than some of these podcasts are.
Yeah, I think the podcasts work much better in an audio format, but they
are... You should not watch them on YouTube, yeah.
They are all also available on YouTube, and I tell you,
putting
I know...
our shit out there.
I know for our special we have coming up, Stoner Movie September.
Ooh.
Sound engineer Andrew has some tricks up his sleeves for these new YouTube episodes.
Really?
To make them enjoyable to watch on the podcast.
I love that idea.
Yeah. So that's in store. So you should absolutely fucking subscribe to us there, because you've got so much content to get through. And a lot of it, I know our podcasts are long. We try to shoot for an hour on those. But both Trailer Sailor and Showdowns, we keep to under 15 minutes.
Yes.
They are just quick content you can watch and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do this. And I think let's go ahead and announce this new one we got, Ryan.
Boom. That's right. We've got a new show coming. It's been in the works for a while. We've been thinking and tinkering on it. By the time this episode comes out, I'll probably make an announcement.
Okay.
On Facebook about it. So you probably already know, but it's the Splash Panel.
Yes.
It's pretty much like a book club, but for comics. And what we're going to do is Kyle and I will both, each episode, give each other a recommendation, go through it, and then on the next episode, we'll tell you what we're going to read, so mm-hmm. you can read with us, and we'll talk about it next time. Again, 15 minutes or less. We'll go through everything super quick. You'll get to see all the art that we're talking about with YouTube. Don't worry, Sound Engine Andy. I will not leave this all to you. I'll send you all the stuff needed. And it's going to be, I think, a quick, fun thing, again, that I don't think a lot of people are doing out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are comic book reviews, but again, a lot of them try to get long-winded. We're trying to keep it quick and also show you more of what we're talking about artwork-wise.
Yeah.
Because with comics, you got to see it to mm-hmm. believe it.
Yeah. Very visual medium.
Sure.
You can't absolutely. Really talk about the same way as you can like movies or games.
Yeah.
So that is definitely one that you will keep an eye out on YouTube.
And
just
that one
search
will be,
for Experience Grind Podcast.
Please subscribe to us, y'all.
Yes, we need 100, and then we get the name.
Hit that fucking subscribe button. It's easy. It doesn't cost you anything. We are giving up all of our time to bring you all of this shit for free. It's at no cost to you. All we want is that subscribe. Bringing it back to Splash Panel real quick. To kind of tie this in, what is going to be the first thing we talk about?
Thank you for asking, Kyle. It's Kingdom Come, and this is your recommendation.
It is.
It's from 1994?
Is it that early?
Or 96? It's mid-90s.
Yeah.
It might even be 5, but who cares? It is the big DC event book, kind of like Marvel's, that Marvel did, which features the Ross of Alex art.
Oh,
the art of Alex Ross.
Let's there we go.
Flip it and reverse it, like Missy said.
Sure.
It features the art of Alex Ross, who you don't know. He is like a fucking painter.
Yeah, every fucking panel in this is hand painted in like watercolor.
It's a piece of art.
Yeah.
But so you should look at it, read it with us, and we'll let you know when it comes out. But as you said, this is something we want to do with you guys, too. So this, I want to be like a community thing.
He wants it to be a book club.
Yeah,
I think this is the word he said. So,
comic book club.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. It's going to be quick. It's going to be great. Ryan is going to have much more lead on this because he is our resident comic book guy. I like them, but he's going to, I hope, expose me to a lot of great stuff.
That's what I'm going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. And so, in this sense, I will be the stand-in for the idiot audience, which is me. And the rest of you.
I was going to say, that's perfect. So if you know nothing about comics,
I don't
you can join
really.
Us. If you can, if you know a lot, you can join us.
We'll it's going to be great.
Some both.
So to wrap this up, I would like to just one more time. I'm sorry, Micah.
Yes.
Really sorry, buddy.
Thank you so much for your support.
Yes,
again,
thank you.
You're wasting your money on us. We're not worth it.
Please, please.
It's so appreciated.
Give another recommendation. Anything else. We would love to tackle anything that you recommend. And this is a call to anybody else. If you support us on Patreon or would like us to review something, support us on Patreon. And we take all requests. We will get to them. I guarantee you. I'm not saying we're going to like it. We're going to give you the honest thoughts on what we think. I'll tell you right now.
Straight from our balls.
Yeah.
Honest,
straight from
honest
those
thoughts
balls.
Straight from our balls.
But thank you guys, as always, for listening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. You know, I'm much more the hype man of this show. Ryan likes to be more of our cynicism. But again, I don't know why either you listen to this. I am fucking glad that you do every day that you do. Thank you so much. I am Kyle.
I am Ryan.
And we have been Experience Grind. Thank you. Go fuck yourself.
Hey. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.